Hallelujah. Don't you feel better because you gave money away? Yeah, hallelujah. It's a good feeling to be able to give. Blessed are they who give. It's better to give than to receive. Amen. Okay, some of you don't believe that, but eventually God will convince you of that in Jesus' name. Thank you for making the time to come here this morning, our first-time visitors. I see a few faces that I don't recognize for the regulars. God bless you for your faithfulness. I just want to say thank you to every single man, woman, and child that made yesterday such an amazing day of ministry and fun with our motorcycling friends and families. Can you say amen? I tell you, too, when I walked into the venue for that ladies' function, I was battling to hold back the tears. But I just saw a spirit of excellence in everything that was done there. You know, somebody once accused me of being a perfectionist. I'm not a perfectionist. A perfectionist is somebody who's out of touch with reality. I strive for perfection, but excellence will be tolerated. Because Matthew 5:48 says, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus said it. And that perfect doesn't mean like we understand that you never make a mistake. It just means being perfect and complete in Christ, lacking nothing in Christ. So perfection is my goal, but excellence will be tolerated. And I saw a spirit of excellence in everything that was done there. Guys and ladies, the CMA family, awesome. Awesome. And the non-CMA members that helped, awesome, awesome, awesome. Then I don't like to call it outreach, but when I rode my motorbike with my brothers in Christ yesterday, yes, that was awesome, man. We had such fun, guys. I tell you, look at me. We had such fun. They decided to make me Friar Tuck. We were part of the Bike SA Cancer Shave-a-thon. And my mom is busy overcoming cancer as we speak. I said she's overcoming cancer as we speak. So this is in honor of my mom. And, you know, I've always thought Elias is like kind of like a good, burly, good-looking kind of man's man. So I got him to cut my hair, but it didn't work. I ended up looking worse. So we had such a good time. Ministry opportunity was beautiful. We could share the life and love of Jesus with several guys yesterday, which is what it was about. Ons het lekker gery, ons het lekker geëet, but the big picture is we had an opportunity to bring the unchurched into the kingdom of God. Bring the unchurched into the family of God to advance His kingdom. Hallelujah. So to the guys and ladies and to God that gave us the day, let's give yourselves and the Lord a round of applause. The guys that made all these things, they were thanked at the chapter meeting. But for the visitors that don't know what this is about, I encourage you, come have a look at these beautiful, creative things. It's I don't know. It's amazing the creativity that came out of the people to do this. And the ladies decorate absolutely awesome. And it's so exciting for me just to see the family of God work together like that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're visiting with us here this morning, we thank you for coming. We trust that God is going to speak to you at your point of need, and you're going to leave never the same again. Can you say amen? Amen? We're busy with a sermon series called How to Live the Blessed Life and going through Jesus' teaching on what to do to be happy. And the portion of Scripture is the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 from verse 3 down to 11. That's a sermon series that we're busy with. However, this morning, we need to look at the church's vision. The church's vision is, who can tell me? Okay, there we go. I think about 11% of the church have it. So we're going to be preaching and teaching on the vision over and 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 over again until everybody in this church that considers this church their church knows that the vision of CMA Bikers Church of All Triangle is to bring the unchurched into the family of God to advance His kingdom. That's our vision. Now, the outreach arm, or the army, or the soldiers, the platoon, the SWAT team, the Navy SEALs of this organization, the CMA, the Christian Motorcyclists Association, has a theme for this year as well, and that's called hope. That theme is hope for this year. And the foundation scripture for that is from Hosea chapter 2 and verse 15 in the Message paraphrase. A message is a paraphrase, it's not a translation. So it's said in other words. And it says, God says, I'll turn Heartbreak Valley into acres of hope. What a promise. I'll turn Heartbreak Valley into acres of hope. How many of you can testify and agree this morning that if the world needs something, it's hope? How many people are living in a place of hopelessness? There's just no hope in sight. They've tried everything. They've gone to the best. They've bought the best. They've spent the most. They've done their... It's still just a hopeless situation. And God wants to restore that. So here's God. He's made the heavens and the earth. And it's beautiful. It's amazing. He's made the aurora lights, the northern lights. How many of you have seen that? It's spectacular. He's made shooting stars, galaxies. But it's still not enough. He's made galaxies. He's made solar systems. He's made stratostelsels. He's made all that. Still not beautiful and good enough for God. And he says, okay, let me make a little blue marble. And I'll call it Earth. And it's beautiful. It's unique. It's an amazing looking little planet. And it's great. It's awesome. But for God, it's still not good enough. And then he creates nature. And scientific principles and scientific laws and gravity and centrifugal force and inertia, which we love. Ooh. All of those scientific laws and forces make motorcycling so lekker. Some of you believe it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Renier. I see that hand, my brother. God made those forces. But daar toe bydra dat ons kry lekker as ons ry. I even enjoy stop riding because you stop so hard. It's like your eyeballs pop out. It's lekker. He made all of that. But for God, it's still not good enough. And then the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit get together and say, let us make man in our image. Now it gets exciting. God has made all of this and he decides to put his creational crowning jewel on everything that he's made with the power and might of his hand and his spoken word. And then he decides to do a custom handmade. And he comes and he finds me. Dirt. Dirt. Nothing. People walk on this. They throw it away. And he chooses to make us from this. And he takes this dirt and puts it together. He's saying, wow, look what I'm doing. And to some he gives hair, and to some he gives a little bit more hair. To others he's not really concerned about the hair. And he takes this lump of clay called man and he breathes life into it. And he chooses to put his spirit inside of us. And he gives us his breath, the very essence of life. He puts inside us. And then he looks at all that he has made. Now he's well pleased. Now he's happy. In spite of the beauty and the splendor and the glory of the universe, he looks at us and he schemes, this is where it's at. And he decides that he's going to give us dominion over the work of his hands and let us rule this planet. He's going to let us observe this universe and enjoy it all and love it all. Decides he's going to give us that. Okay? And then you know the rest of the story. We decide, Lord, this is great and thank you. But I'm just going to like do things my own way. And we lost that place of intimate connection with God. The devil comes and deceives the woman. The man knew what was going on because he's the man, but he tricked the woman. When the man was supposed to be the man and protect the woman, the devil tricked the woman. She was deceived, not the man. The man knew exactly what was cutting. And he still let the devil deceive his baby. And we lost that place of right standing in front of God. And all of that, you know the story. And then we gun on and we start living our lives the way we think it should be done. We decide we know how to do life without God. And we end up in 2018, the 25th of February, where the world is a mess and a place of hopelessness, despair, despondency, pain, suffering, destruction, heartache, bribery, corruption, maliciousness, cruelty, selfishness, pride, arrogance, and the list can go on and on and on and on. And God sees this and said, okay, I love them, give them another chance. For 4,000 years, I've sent them prophets, I've sent them angels. They killed my prophets. They ignored the angels. I sent my word through many people. I did signs, wonders, and miracles. It's still not there. Hulle wil nog steeds nie hoor nie. Let me maar come down and visit with them. Mankind is in a state and a place of hopelessness. And then King Jesus, God Almighty, not the big man upstairs, the great I am. God Almighty decides to come down and take on an earthly suit, a flesh tent like ours, become like us. He humbles himself, goes through puberty, nappies, runny noses, all those things, just to be with us. He humbles himself. He's God himself. He's not a storybook childhood character. He humbles himself to the point of the cross. And he gives his life up and he dies for us. You see, he'd rather die than live without us. That's how much he loves us. So that we today at a place can be the people, if we want to, that can reintroduce righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost and hope to a dying world that so desperately needs it. If you want to. If you want to. I was sharing with somebody the other day, one of the visits that we were at a biking club pub where we were. So I think I was sharing with Mike and yesterday with somebody. Said, the question is, if God is such a loving God, what kind of a father allows his son to be crucified? Think about it. God is love, okay? What kind of a being allows their own child to be mistreated at the hands of humankind like this loving God does? It's a valid question, church. Think about it. Okay? I want to turn the tables a little bit. Those of you that have more than one child that you know of, raise your hands. Raise your hands. Thank you. Put your hands down. If I come to you to say, right, I want you, one of your children has been guilty of something, and I want you to choose which child needs to die to pay for that price. Pay that price. Which child are you going to choose to let die? Now you're probably thinking, yeah, so-and-so was naughty this week, take him. But if you examine your heart, you'll see, no, wait, whoa, this is real. This stuff has just gotten real. As a parent, I can't choose which child needs to die. What is a loving parent going to say? No, please, don't take any one of my children. Take me. That's the kind of loving father that said, yes, I don't want any of them to die. Take me. Take me. That's love, ladies and gentlemen. Personified on the cross like nothing we'd ever seen and will never see. It's the very expression of love. God didn't create love. He didn't invent love. He is love. He said, you know what? I don't want any of them to die because the devil is busy destroying them. I wanted to stop. Take me. Let me die so that they don't have to die. That's love. That is love. And guess what? He conquered sin, death, and the grave anyway. Just raised himself from the dead. How cool is that? How cool is that? I don't know about you, but I want to stick with that God. Who can predict the time, the place, the circumstances to the finest detail of their life, their birth, their death, die and raise from the dead and pull it off and get it right? I don't know what you want to call him. I'll call him my God, my daddy. Choose you this day whom you want to serve. And because he gave himself on the cross today, I preached this in 2011, hope, worst case scenario. A Christian's worst case scenario is having hope. But that's in a perfect world, ladies and gentlemen. But we're not living in a perfect world. We're living in South Africa, the rainbow nation. Hallelujah. God bless the people in this country. I said, God bless the people in this country, Lord. Bless this country, Lord. In Jesus' name. So we're living in a place where there's hopelessness. In a perfect world, we'll be beyond hope. But that's not where we are today. Who was it Cornet was saying on Friday night? You don't have to say anything. Just be. Just be at a place. Make yourself available. And you're going to see what's going to happen. If you've got Jesus Christ living inside you, I'm not talking religious stuff in your head. I'm talking the Spirit of God living inside of you. Just stand there. Watch what happens. You're going to see how you're going to draw hopelessness and despondency and desperation and pain and suffering to yourself. Because the psalm says, deep cries out to deep. The depth of the emptiness in them is going to cry to the depth of the love of Jesus in you, child of God. And then you can give them Jesus. You can give them hope. And he says, I'll turn Heartbreak Valley into acres of hope. I'm going to fly through some hope scriptures just quickly as we get into this thing. Are you ready to experience the ride of your life, church? Got your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Psalms. What does hope do? Guys, did you get this late scripture that I forgot? Job 5:16. Did you get it? Thank you. Bless you. So the poor have hope, and injustice shuts her mouth. I love that. Job 5 and verse 16. So what does hope do? The poor have hope. I've started riding a mountain bike so that I can fit enough to ride my motorbike. Ring, ding, ding. So I'm on my bicycle, and I meet a guy alongside the river, living in a makeshift shelter alongside the river, and I'm riding my bicycle. He's making a living with his hands, cultivating the ground, planting veggies, taking the veggies, taking it to the street and selling it. Hardworking man, not abusing alcohol or drugs. Honest, can see his hands. Hardworking man. And I want to give him hope that there's a better life for this. And I think to myself, but Mozzie, hang on a second. He's living in a better place than you. He's got a beautiful view of the river. He's got a riverfront property. I'm in SE3 where there's sirens and gunshots and barbed wire and alarms and cops and... But I ask him, does he know about Jesus? Long story short, have an opportunity to just share Jesus with this man and get a Bible to him, etc. And we met him again when we went on the off-road biker blessing ride. Could visit with him and arranged to meet him, and he thought I was going to kidnap him. I came there in my bucket to take him to Home Affairs to help him get his identification documents sorted out, and he hid. I'm telling you, the spirit of fear came upon him. Devil sent a spirit of fear to keep him away from me. To keep him away from me. And he thought I was going to kidnap him. And anyway, when we crossed his paths again on the off-road ride, I said, Becky, I'm not going to kidnap you, dude. I just look like I'm a kidnapper. He didn't answer that, but there we were on our dirt bikes. And I said, if you want my help, I'm here to help you. And I could just see, and I told him what I want to do. And I said, Jesus loves you, and I have this wonderful plan for your life. And he got a glimmer of hope, like, yes, things can be better. I no longer have to live in a makeshift shelter along the side of the river, but there's hope, and he got hope. So the poor have hope, and injustice shuts her mouth. Woo, I love that. Imagine how many members in parliament are suddenly going to be quiet. If we give them hope. Right, Pete, isn't it awesome? Imagine how many politicians will shut up because injustice shuts her mouth when there's hope. When there's hope, injustice shuts her mouth. Moving right along. Hope gives us courage. Psalm 31 and verse 24. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. All you who hope in the Lord. Psalm 33 and verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him or those who hope in his mercy. So God's eye follows you. God like checks you out. I'm watching you. Watching you. That's awesome. I'm watching you, sir. God's eye is on you. I'd like him to watch over me and make sure that it goes well with my soul. I don't know about you. He's not like watching you, like waiting to zap you when you do things wrong. He knows what you're going to do before you've even done it, man. He's watching over you to bless you. to love you, to love on you, just show you what a good daddy he is. That's why he's watching you. If you've got hope, it gets you that. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be watched by God this morning, church? Hallelujah. Some of you do. Some of you are still trying to duck and dive him, and that's cool. He's got your number and your address. Stick around. I love when Pete says this. It's just such a reminder. And there's such anointing on this when he says this. He says, you have Pete say this. When he prays, Lord, I'm nothing without you. I'm nothing without you. And it's like that. We're nothing without God, man. We're a lump of clay made from dirt that he's decided to put the breath of his life inside. Wow. God is such an awesome God. Psalm 38 and verse 15, he says, for in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. 38 and verse 15. Psalm 38 verse 15. In you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. How many of you would like God to hear you? I'd like God to hear me when I moan, when I groan, when I cry, when I complain, when I rejoice, all my issues. I want him to hear it all because only he can fix it. Only he can fix it. I can't. Psalm 43 and verse 5 from the New Living Translation, the second edition, says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. You feeling discouraged? Come on. Hope in God. Put your hope in him. Not in people or the circumstances around you and in things and stuff and money and relationships and what. Just those things are going to let you down somewhere along the line. Put your hope and your trust in God, church. And then, I smoked this one. We're talking about being blessed because being blessed means being happy, and Jesus is teaching us how to be happy. And our new song that God gave us is, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Come on. Happy are the people who obey his word. Happy are the people who call on his name. I think I'm misquoting it, Louis. Happy are the people. Happy are the people who rejoice in him. All the time. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Happy are the people. Come on, man. This, Lord, just attack them with happiness. Attack them, Lord, with happiness. Get happy. Hallelujah. Psalm 146 and verse 5. And you know what? It can be fake and it can be empty. Or it can be real. It can be fake and it can be empty. It can be substance induced. I said it can be substance induced. Hey, happy. Oh, hey. Happy, happy. Or it can be real. Real happiness. That means regardless of what's happening on the outside, hell's breaking loose, the world's coming to an end, inside is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. Woo! Oh, come on. Lord Jesus, what am I going to do with your people? Attack them with happiness. Psalm 146 and verse 5. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is that person. Happy is that person. I don't know about you, but I kind of prefer happiness to sadness. I prefer happiness to sadness. I've got a hope in God, sir. Hope in God, young man. Hope in God. Hope in God. Psalm 147 verse 11. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. Zephaniah 3 and verse 17. You don't have it there, but put it up. Zephaniah 3 and verse 17 says that God rejoices and sings and dances over you. Here's the picture in that language there, the original language. Here's God. You. Here's God, whose throne is a throne of mercy, grace, infinite love and compassion and tenderness and mercy. And God dances. Imagine God dancing. Hey, ho, ho, hey, hey, ho. Getting all excited over you. And it says he twirls. The language, he twirls and he spins around you. And his robe encircles you. He dances over you and celebrates over you, my sweetheart. That's how precious you are. He gets so excited looking at you. He twirls and dances over you. You watch these ballroom dancers. I mean, hierdie mense kan operate word. They know how to move. And it's gracious and it's beautiful. And dresses that those women wear. Man alive. Imagine God doing that with you. He dances and rejoices and sings over you. Over me. Just come on, man. You got to love a God like that. You got to love a God like that. He takes pleasure in you. If you hope in Him. If you hope in Him. Psalm 147 and verse 11. And that's enough about hope. And I battled with this theme. I thought, yes, why is our theme hope? Because hope is a Christian's worst case scenario. I'm not at the place of worst scenario. I'm not there. And I realized that that's great, Mozzie. It's lekker, waar jy is daar. But that's not where the world is. That's not where the world is. The world is at a place of hopelessness. So let's give them hope. And then Romans 5:5 says, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So hope does not disappoint. So let's give them hope, church. You see, with that hope, once we give them hope, we can bring the unchurched to a place of hope. We can bring the unchurched to a place where they see, you know what, we're not giving you religion. We're not giving you church membership. We're not giving you a silly little back patch. This patch means nothing, and yet it means everything because of what it symbolizes. And if you're a biker, you'll understand that, but we'll explain it another time. I'll draw pictures for you if you have to. If I have to. But we give them hope. Bring the unchurched. Why don't they go to church? Well, maybe their church gave them hopelessness. Maybe their church condemned them and pointed fingers and said, you'll never be good enough unless you dress like this, or you act like this, or you look like this. Maybe they went to church and the minister lost the plot, and now they've got no hope because the person they looked up to is... Sure. So may we give them hope. So that we can bring them into God's family and advance His kingdom. You see, hope is just the very beginning. The challenge this morning for the church in the world is to start off with hope and get them to the place where they live beyond hope. And I've called it this. I've said, this is what we need to do. We need to grow hope from knowing to loving. Where do we get that from? Listen carefully. You need to grow hope. Hope needs to grow from knowing to loving. And I'll explain scripturally. Are you still with me, church? Remember what it was like when you, before you got your first puppy. How many of you are animal lovers? Okay, put your hands down. How many of you, be honest now, don't like animals at all? Okay. Never trust a man who doesn't like a dog. Never trust a man who don't like dogs. Okay, Proverbs says so. A righteous man regards the life of his animal, but moving right along. So maybe you heard before the time that you were going to get a little puppy dog. A little puppy dog. And you wondered, what kind of dog? What's it going to look like? What am I going to call it? Maybe you were just surprised with a dog. Maybe on Christmas time, you got a little Jack Russell puppy in a box with a bow on. Yo, my wife is so awesome. She gives me the most awesome surprises. She surprised me in 2006 with a Jack Russell puppy. And I was thinking about getting a dog, and I was doing research as to what it's going to entail looking after these little things. And she surprised me Christmas of 2016. I opened the box and there's this little puppy. And I called him KTM, hallelujah. Woohoo! So, man alive. And, so before you get your puppy dog, you're filled with hope and expectation. But then when you get your dog, are you still hoping for a dog? Why? Because you've got it. Can you see where we're going with this? You see, we can hope for something which we do not yet have or which we do not see. But once you have it, oh, come on, church. Once you have it, you no longer need to live at the place of hope. Because who hopes for what is already seen? We hope for the unseen. Romans 8 verse 24 and 25. For we are saved in this hope. I mean, we're saved in this hope and it gets better. Yo. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Verse 25 of Romans 8. But what if we hope for what we do not see? We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Now I'm going to read it in English slowly. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We need to grow from hope to knowing to being fully persuaded. Stick around. It gets better. But wait, there's more. If you keep listening, you will also receive Acts 17, verse 2 to 4. Are you ready? Why do we keep hoping for what we already have? You go from hope to knowing to being fully persuaded. Apostle Paul in Acts 17, 2 to 4, he describes his ministry trips and the preaching that he does in the synagogues. And I love the words that he uses here, or the Holy Spirit used. And then Acts 17, 2 to 4, it says, then Paul, as his custom was, in other words, he did it regularly. This is how he rolled. He went to them and for three Sabbaths, yes, he preached on their Sabbath, which is the Saturday. It was the Jewish Sabbath, always was, been, and always will be. We don't celebrate the Sabbath, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating. I thought, whoa, I wonder what Paul did. I wonder what God did through Paul. Because I can explain, sort of, okay, but the demonstration? This apostle could demonstrate. This apostle, like Peter, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk with me. Silver and gold have I none. It's one thing preaching the Scriptures, eh? Oh, okay, crippled. Yeah, get up in Jesus' name. Come, let's walk with Jesus. So this hope did, this cat called Paul. So he does this, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, the Jesus whom I preach to you is Christ. And some of them were persuaded. So here's the deal. He's going to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the couldn't-sees, the wouldn't-sees, all the stuck-up religious nuts of the day, the church freaks that knew all about God but had no relationship with the living God. How many of you know people like that? Churches are full of them. They all know all about God here, but have no relationship here with a living God at all. So Paul was addressing these people. And it says many of them were persuaded. Okay, they were persuaded. That's the word. And a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, in other words, lots of them, joined Paul and Silas. So he took them from a place of hopelessness to having hope, to knowing and then being fully persuaded. Listen, you don't need to convince me anymore. People ask me, do you believe in Jesus? I say no. And they're like, no, I don't believe in Jesus. I know him. I said, I know. I guess long call for baby pint for I can Jesus glue. Even the demons believe in Jesus and tremble, the book of James says. So I'm no longer like a demon. Sometimes I am. But there's grace for that. And I don't believe in Jesus anymore. I know him. I said I know him. I've met him. That's where you need to be. Not just believing him and knowing him. Even the devil knows and believes in him, man. Come on. Being fully persuaded. And then 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. And I'm done preaching. I'm going to land this thing. Deep end can come up. So they joined Paul and Silas. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says, for this reason, I also suffer these things. What's he talking about? He's talking about what happens in a person's life. Maurice, I want you to hear. Christelle, Vasheskat, Pastor Jay, I want you to listen. Paul is describing, he says, for this reason, I suffer all of these things. What he's saying is describing that the stuff that you go through once you decide to follow Jesus, the stuff that you decide to do once you say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I want to be a Christian. And you say the little rhyme and you become a born-again Christian. How many people have we said that little prayer with and nothing changes in their lives? Nee, maar ek het my hart vir die Here gegee, okay? Maar die res van jou lewe, hy sal dan opgeskep met jou hart, maar wat van die res van jou lewe? I'm going to say that in English. So you've given your heart to Him. Great. How about your mind, your body, and the rest of your life? How about your deeds, your actions, your time, your money, your friends? How about your interests, your hobbies? What about all of those things? Here's a news flash. News flash, just in. He wants it all. I said He wants it all. He wants it all. So you've given your heart to Jesus, that's a good place to start. Just give the rest of your life to Him. And what Paul's saying is here is, once you do that, once you really do that, once you really lay down your life so that you can receive the resurrection power of His life, and you start following Him with every fiber of your being, stuff's going to happen in your life. And it's not all going to be a walk in the park, sir. It's not all going to be Manskane and Rusa. All hell is going to break loose. Hell is going to break loose around you. Just make sure that you've got the kingdom of God on the inside of you, and you'll be sharp. You'll be fine. Whereas in the past, you'll be in the hellhole and the mess on your way to hell. But now that you've given your life to Jesus and you're living for Him, it's going to be tough. It's going to be challenging, but you won't be alone. You won't be alone. Your Redeemer, your Justifier, your Maker, the Lover of your soul, the Lord God Almighty, the Great I Am, Abba Father, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valleys, the Fairest of 10,000. I just go on and on and on. He's got beautiful names. 32 names of Jehovah alone, let alone Jesus, the Advocate, the High Priest, our Intercessor, the Lover of our soul. I can't stop talking about this Jesus of mine. I can't. And once you live for Him, things are going to happen. And you can walk with Him like that. And Paul says this in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things. It's because of this Jesus. I go through these things and it's okay because He's with me. I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. He's gone past knowing. He's gone past persuading. He knows. I know and believe. I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep what I've committed to Him until that day. I close off by saying this. The world is struggling to believe. We need to give them hope. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a place. This is the most important time of the service. I want you to be praying in the Spirit, please. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you feel your situation is hopeless. There's no more hope for this thing. I know God is speaking to you. You don't have to look at me, but I know He's speaking to you. Yes, you. It's not looking at me. He's speaking to you. Maybe you're at a place of hopelessness this morning. And you need hope to be real in your heart and in your life all over again. Because stuff has just not worked out the way you thought it would. God is speaking to us this morning, church. Put your trust in Him. Learn to hope in God. He's not going to disappoint you. He's not going to let you down. And if you're at a place like that this morning where you know, it's just Mozzie, I could do with that kind of hope. Eh? You're talking about knowing and being persuaded, and that's great, but I don't even have hope this morning. It might be for something small, and it might be for something major. That's fine. All of it's important to God, no matter how significant or insignificant it is to you. It's all important to Daddy God. If you're at a place in your life this morning where you realize that you could do with some hope, if that's you, would you just raise your hand? Anybody? Huh? Come on. Be honest with yourself. Okay, that's great. There's only a few. I want to pray for those that have raised their hands this morning. Lord, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you regard him? So, What kind of a prayer can we pray when we ask for hope except the prayer of faith, Lord God? And that's the prayer that moves your hand and shifts the heavenlies in our favor. Lord, for us that have raised our hands this morning, Lord God, I need hope. I need hope, Lord God, to see a mighty, mighty change in this nation and in the lives of my lost friends, in the lives of my lost family. Lord God, I need hope, Lord. For those that have raised their hands, Lord God, they need hope in those areas and those situations. Lord Jesus, you're the God of hope. You're the God of hope. Spirit of God, descend upon them. Quicken your word and the life and the love of Jesus. Quicken that to our souls and our spirits, Lord God, that we might see the hope. Might we see it in your word. Might we hear it in your voice. Might we see it in the created work of your hands, Lord God, through other people, through angels, however, Lord God. Just bring hope, Lord God, to those who are a place of hopelessness, Lord. I declare it and decree it. So be it this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, God Almighty. Amen. Amen. And then if you're at a place in your life where you got this hope, and you know this hope is in you, and you have a burning, yearning desire in you to share that hope with people that you know don't have it, and God is stirring in your heart and touching your heart, and you come here Sunday after Sunday, and this whole mission thing and this whole vision thing and a compassion for the lost is starting to grow in your heart, and you want to be better equipped, you want confidence, you want more anointing, you want to be filled with the Spirit of God to be able to be a faithful, mighty messenger for God. You want to be used by God more than you ever have before. Maybe you've never volunteered yourself for Christian service. And relax, I'm not going to get you to preach, okay? Stay calm. Stay calm. And if you think you can, come see me. But if you want to just volunteer your life for Christian service somehow, somewhere, wherever you are, it starts where you are at. Nie een dag as ek 'n mikrofoon kry. Of ek is gekwalifiseer as a whatever. Wherever you are at here and now, if you want to be used by God and be a messenger and a carrier of this hope, you want God to equip you and empower you and enable you to do that, would you raise your hands this morning? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The harvest is ready and the laborers are few. Lord, for those who have raised their hands, would you all stand with me this morning in the name of Jesus, please? I want to pray for those who have raised their hands and want to be used by God in a mighty and a greater way. And I just pray for you this morning. I'd like us to all just pray in the Spirit out aloud while I pray in truth for these people. In the name of Jesus, let's go. Father, as men and women have just raised their hands this morning, you see the condition of their heart. It's not about hands being lifted, but those hands that have been lifted, Lord God, they're making themselves available for service, Lord. I just thank you that supernaturally, oh God, by your Spirit, Holy Spirit, that you would equip them. Lord Jesus, baptize them in your Spirit in the name of Jesus to overflowing, Lord God. Quicken their mortal bodies, Lord God. Give them divine health to be able to do that. Supernaturally provide the resources so that they can be effective ministers of the gospel in this world and in this day and age, Lord God. Guard their hearts and minds against onslaught of the enemy in the name of Jesus. I just declare the helmet of salvation over them, Lord God, that protects their hearts and their minds, Lord God, what they see, what they hear, and what they speak. I say that the breastplate of righteousness covers their heart. They are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that breastplate stops the arrows from hitting them, Lord God. And the shield of faith, Lord God. Equip them with a shield of faith with which they can quench the fiery darts of the enemy that wants to stop them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I declare the belt of truth around their waist, Lord. The belt holds all of that armor together. Thank you that there'll be no deception, there'll be no cult, there'll be no false religion, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. There'll be true and undefiled religion, which says in James that it's taking care of widows and orphans in their need. Thank you that the belt of truth, who is Jesus, will be revealed to them by your Spirit who points us to Jesus, Lord. And then thank you that their shoes are the preparation of the gospel of peace. Their feet are ready. Lord, they are available. They are saying, here I am, Lord, use me. Lord, see the sincerity in their heart and send them forth, commissioned by your Spirit and your eldership and your leaders, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Send them forth, Lord God, to do great exploits. I just declare, I believe it's Daniel 9:27 says, God says this to you, those people who know their God will do great exploits in the name of Jesus. Daniel, Isaiah, John, Amos, Kepa, Satare, the Shete. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Is it Daniel 10:27? Daniel 9:27. Come on, man. Those people who know their Lord will do great exploits. It's Daniel 10:27. Where is it? It's in Daniel somewhere, man. Anyway, I want to give that to you. It says, those who know their Lord will do great exploits. Thank you that you send them forth to do that, Lord. And thank you, Lord God, that you equip them with your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, which is your word. It's Daniel 9. No, it's not. Those who know their God will do great exploits. Anyway, it's there in the scripture. Thank you, Lord God, that you equip them with a sword of the Spirit, which is your word. Lord, supernaturally quicken your word to their minds so that when it is needed, Lord God, I can speak your words. And I just declare, God is this people that have raised their hands this morning, and you have this fear and a concern that you don't know the word of God, you don't know what to say, and you can't quote scripture. Proverbs 24:26 says that he who gives a right answer kisses the lips. And the Spirit of God will enable you to speak what he wants you to speak at the right time, the right place. Matthew 10:22, I believe it is, that when you speak, it will be those who receive you, who deny Jesus that you share. It's not then they won't be rejecting you and denying you. They'll be rejecting and denying Jesus. If you confess Jesus before men, God will confess you. Jesus will confess you before God in heaven. So boldly speak. In the very moment you need to speak, just trust and believe God that he will quicken his word. Not your idea, not your opinion. He'll quicken his word to your heart. That you speak his word. Just trust God. It's the Spirit of God who works in you anyway. God wants to tell you, if that's you and you're concerned about what you say is not the right thing, God says, if you confess me before men, Matthew 10:32, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven, Jesus says. So speak Jesus. Confess Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. And then last but by no means least, if you're here and you, your whole life is a mess. You're not sure what's going to happen to you if you die. You don't know Jesus. And you'd like reassurance of your salvation. Where am I going to live when I die? Am I going to go to heaven? Am I going to go to hell? What's going to happen to me? If you're not sure, if you're not certain, if that's you this morning, raise your hand. Anybody like that here? Anybody? Anybody? Oh, awesome. Church full of people that are sure of their salvation. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Guys, I'm done. I'm really, really done preaching now. There are some vision stickers that are left over from last year when we did the vision sermons. The sticker says, bring in, it's exactly like that up there. If you have a vehicle that you want to like the stickers on, or stick it on the back of your toilet door, or on your mirror, or stick it somewhere, you're more than welcome to get some. I'm going to give this to Johan at the back over there. Johan, wave your hand, please. Johan standing at the back. Just make sure you get a sticker. Please don't ask for 16 people who aren't here this morning. Just take one. And if you really, really, really want one for other people or whatever, then you can. Just get those stickers and just to help you see the vision, and the Spirit of God just remind you of that vision all the time.